Life Styles, episode 4.
Hello, and welcome to the Club Zone. Today we have Jackie, and she's going to be sharing her perspective on womanism versus feminism. So Jackie, a lot of people don't know that there actually is a difference. So what's the best way you could describe the difference?
So I feel like the best way to describe it is that feminism was very white-centric. It was built by white women for white women, you know? So, and womanism is created by black women for women of color and all women, you know? It has everyone's right, everyone that identifies a woman or their femme presenting's rights in mind. You know, feminism was really just focused on, oh, white women getting what they want. They didn't really think of women of color, black women, indigenous women as their equal counterparts.
Yeah. And how do you think that this misconception started?
I just feel like because of how we educate ourselves on history in general, you know, we always talk about white history. It's like when people even just mention that, oh, you know, this month is Black History Month, there is always going to be that crowd where they say, well, what happened to White History Month? Since we were kids, since the moment we're born and we go into this education system, we learn about George Washington and who he was. We learn about all these white intellectuals, Thomas Edison, you know, Thomas Franklin, or whatever him.
Yeah.
You know, I don't even know him, but you know what I mean? Like, we kind of are submerged into this white history since we're built into the education system. You know, it doesn't matter what color you are. As long as you're not white, you're not going to be really seen in the mainstream of history, you know? So when people teach feminism, they kind of just leave it out like, oh, yeah, well, feminism was for women, you know? And for most people, people think, oh, for all women, you know, no matter what. But the reality of the fact is women of color, black women, people of color in general, we were never considered as equal counterparts to white people in the beginning and old times of America. And sadly to this day, sometimes.
How do you like portray womanism in like your day-to-day life?
For me, for womanism, I kind of just portray it as like listening to black women, what they need, black trans women. You know, I try to listen to other women of color and what their struggles are, because I am a lighter skinned woman. You know, I'm brown, but I'm light brown. So my struggle is completely different from a black woman, a person that's darker complected, you know? So I kind of take a step back sometimes and try to listen. You know, I feel like that's the biggest part. Listen to their experience and listen to what I can do to help. So even when a woman is talking to me, I kind of take a step back. White women, black women, but specifically black and brown women, I try to take a step back and listen to what their struggles are, because sometimes they're not just talking for themselves, they're talking for other people too.
Yeah. And how would you say, like, obviously their experience is going to be a lot different than everyone else's. From your viewpoint, from what you've heard, like, how would, like, what's like specifics of like how it would be different for them, just because people should be informed?
So the difference, like, what do you mean,
like, in like a feminism, like womanism aspect, like how they're like different? Not included in the category.
So when we talk about feminism and these feminist protests, you can see white women are always the leaders, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like people kind of look by that, they're like, oh, you know, of course it's women. Mm-hmm. You know, but sadly, there's a greater context to that. So when we see these protests for women, you have to ask which women are they talking about? Who are they really fighting for? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So whenever you see these movements that include everyone from any gender, you know, a lot of these movements, white women, although they're minorities, they don't care because it doesn't apply to them, you know. But so like Black Lives Matter, that includes every black life, you know, black trans women, black women, but a lot of white women or white people don't really care, you know, they're just like, whatever, it doesn't apply to me. But when it happens to be like the abortion right, you know, where all women are kind of like forced to not have control of their own body, oh, all of a sudden white women want to be up in the forefront, when in actuality, black and brown women are the ones getting affected most by this abortion ban. you know?
Yeah.
So whenever we talk about these movements that affect all women, we actually have to see the greater context that it affects Black and Brown women more. And yet these movements are leaded and like centered on white women and the white woman point of view, which is like, yes, it affects you, but we should also be giving Black and Brown women, Black and trans women, the opportunity to be leaders in movements, because they are also women as well.
Yeah.
And they get affected by society in so many other ways, you know?
Yeah. As like, I don't want to say a spokesperson, but kind of like that for like the people of color, like community, like how do you think that people could, how do you think people could carry on this idea, not just in Black History Month, but like all year round as it should be?
Don't be scared to talk about it. Yeah. Don't be scared to make people uncomfortable. Because sadly, when I talk, I'm pretty sure most people get uncomfortable because I'll call out anything and everything, you know? And people feel kind of scared because they're like, oh, this isn't the time and place. We're at school. We're just trying to talk. You know, we're just trying to be friends. But in reality, talking is also a part of living, you know?
Yeah, it needs to be talked about.
It needs to be talked about. Like, if you don't want to make people uncomfortable, then make it a common thing to do. Make it something natural, something normal to talk about, you know?
Yeah.
Call it out, because for me, this is the normal. I talk about this all the time. Like, you talk to me, you know me, I talk about everything. Like, you ask me a question, I'll search it up, or I'll probably be informed on it already, and I'll be like, oh yeah, this and that, the third, right?
I love that about you.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So when people are more willing to learn, more people are willing to talk about things that they tend not to talk about, because life doesn't always revolve around, oh, you want to go shopping?
Yeah.
Later? You know, like, yeah, that's fun, but we still live in a world where it's cruel and ugly, and we need to call that out if we truly want it to change. So making it a normal conversation, and, you know, like, not being like, oh, we talk about it all the time, but be willing to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because that'll make the biggest change. If you're willing to talk about it, if you're willing to have empathy, not sympathy. People don't need sympathy. They need empathy. They need action. You know, talking is action. Moving is action. So either you move your mentality, either you talk about it, you know, it'll be the biggest impact on these type of topics, because the less you talk about it, the less anything is going to change. The more you start talking about it, the more it's normalized to talk about these type of issues and different things, you know, specifics. It's more like, oh, shoot, I didn't know that. You know, take a step back. Put your ego aside.
Yeah. No, because I didn't know the difference until you told me a few months ago. And so I was like, wow, that's so interesting. Like, we have to talk about this. And also, like, besides just, like, talk, like, how, like, what certain things do you think that history teachers could do better to educate students on?
Don't be scared to talk about racism.
Yeah.
It's a system, you know? So, like, it's not, sometimes people feel like, oh, it's emotional, you know, it's touchy. It's a system. Just like we talk about capitalism, just like we talk about socialism, just like we talk about anything that has to do with the government, we have to acknowledge that racism is a part of what we built. You know, America was built off racism. It's kind of embedded within our system. So as long as we keep on ignoring it, it'll still be there. It doesn't matter if there's zero racist people in this world. At the end of the day, if we still live in a racist world, there's still laws that prevent Black women and Black men, or Black people in general, to wear their natural hairstyles at work. They're able to get fired. There's still places in here in the States that's happening. That's why the Crown Act is such a big deal. You know, like, if it doesn't matter if there's no racist people, but those laws that are still in place, we still live in a racist government. We still live in a racist world.
Do you want to shed some light on the Crown Act?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. Just to inform the viewers.
So the Crown Act is an act that helps protect Black people from, you know, being discriminated against because of their hairstyles, like in the job environment, at school, because we've seen it several times where Black athletes needed to cut off their dreads, they needed to cut off their braids before a match because it's not appropriate. It's just like French braids. It's just like a girl putting her hair in a ponytail. You know, it's to protect their hair. It's to put it out of the way. So why is it so difficult to see it that way? Because some people are like, oh, it's just hair. But that's a way to protect natural curly hair, Afro texture hair. It was made for them by them, you know, and to make it illegal, making it possible for people to be like, oh, you were wearing that hairstyle? You're fired. It's like, it targets Black people, because who wears those hairstyles? Mostly because they need to, or they need to protect their hair. It's Black people, people with Afro texture hair, you know? So it's specifically targeting, even though it doesn't say a race, they know who wears those hairstyles. You know, that's what the Crown Act is trying to prevent. It's trying to prevent people from being targeted, Black people from being targeted from this discrimination, this racism.
Yeah. Also, something I want to mention as well is I kind of want to give you a chance to shout out the Heal Project, because I know that's like a big thing for you right now.
Mm-hmm.
It covers a lot of it, like, really important issues.
Yeah.
And so, little shout out to that.
Oh, I love the Heal Project. We're coming out with a podcast too.
Awesome.
But definitely check it out if you guys are interested into any social justice, just having the opportunity to talk as a student and being actually heard, you know what I mean? Because we already know how admin is, you know, not to burst their people's bubbles, but sometimes we feel like as students we don't feel heard.
Yeah.
You know, and especially students of color, students part of the LGBTQIA+ community. You know, we don't feel like we have a part in this community, even though people like to think, oh, you know, we live in a progressive world. I still hear slurs here and there at school almost every
day. Definitely, yeah.
You know, so having an organization that pays you to work on things and study things that you actually are interested in, give you opportunities to participate in things you believe in, you know, because sometimes kids just don't know. They don't know that they have these options to participate in these protests that they actually probably believe in heavily, you know, and they don't actually feel like they can make a difference. But the Heal Project gives you that opportunity to see all of these other opportunities that make you see, dang, I can make a difference.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, what's your last word of wisdom for them?
Don't be afraid to talk, you know, talk, make people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know?
Do your research.
If you're going to talk, do your research, you know?
Yeah.
Because sometimes people like to talk and talk, but they have, like, no facts to back it out. It's no logic. Like, so don't argue with people that base their arguments off their emotions. It's not worth fighting for, because that's purely emotional. You can't argue against emotions. Talk about logic. Talk about facts. Talk about reality.
Yeah.
That's it.
Thank you so much, Jackie.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Goodbye.
Bye.